Blog Talk Radio.
Chicago, sponsored by Momentum Fitness and Health. Let us help you find your momentum. My name is Jason Venkus, and I am your host and the founder of Momentum Fitness and Health. I'm an award-winning and published certified personal trainer, corrective exercise specialist, performance enhancement specialist, and board-certified holistic health coach. You have questions about health, nutrition, and fitness, and we have answers. Every week, we scour the internet looking for the most commonly asked questions about fitness and health so that we can answer them for you. Tune in every week or almost every week at 3 p.m. Central Time or listen archived at any time by visiting our page right here on Blog Talk Radio. Listen in as we continue our dedication to your weight loss and fitness resolutions. I apologize. We were supposed to broadcast last weekend, but I had some childcare issues. We've had a little bit of sickness in the family, so I had to watch my daughter and wasn't able to broadcast. But we are back with you today on how to prepare for your first 5K or 10K race. So this is one of the biggest fitness resolutions. It's running a race, and it's often going to be a 5K or a 10K, and that's smart. You want to start small and work your way up. A lot of people aren't always sure how they should train, how they should eat, and what they should do, you know, 1 week before and during race day. So I'm going to cover up today how to and different options for training, nutrition, in your race day tips as well. So when it comes to your actual training, you have to figure out where you're starting from. If you've been lifting, running, or stretching already, is this something you've been into for a while, but you're just now adding in, you know, running a race? Or are you completely starting fresh? And what's your goal? If it's your first race, I always suggest just to run it for fun and finish. But also, you know, is your goal to finish high in your age group? So, or take down the whole thing. Today's show, honestly, is going to be a little bit more for the beginner. So either you've been exercising just a little bit and want to ramp it up, or you just started this year. Or maybe you're just wanting to start because you don't know where to begin. So no matter where you're starting from, there is one myth that we want to dispel right away, and that's that runners don't need to lift weights or especially do any leg work. But we're going to get to all that. So the first thing you need to do is you need to set a goal. You need to set a timeline here, and the best way to do that is to pick a race. Pick a race, get together with some friends, or if you're going to do it on your own, pick a race that you want to do. This gives you a goal as far as time and lets you know how much time you have to train. I suggest for your first race, you don't want it to be too hot, you probably don't want it to be too cold, so shoot for, depending on where you live, shoot for May. Or if you live in the southern states, maybe April or even late March. So treat this like anything else. Use those SMART goals. Make sure it's specific. Is it a 5K or a 10K race? What day is it? Make sure it's measurable. Your measurable variable here is when you complete it. Is it attainable? Start from the beginning. A 5K race is attainable for just about anybody. Is it relevant? Does it fit your current goals or your lifestyle? Will you have time to train? Because you are going to need to run a few times a week and have time for strength training and flexibility. And timely. Set that date to be realistic, but don't push it so far back that things can go wrong. Don't let fear control your fate in this instance. Okay. Now, if you start your plan tomorrow, you can run a 5K easily in 3 to 4 weeks. Today is the 20th of January, or sorry, 3 to 4 months, not 3 to 4 weeks. If you're starting here on January 20th or about that time, you can be running your first 5K or 10K by the end of April or the end of May. So pretty good timeline. So where do you start? Well, as a performance enhancement specialist and corrective exercise specialist, I find it is always better to prehab or prepare your body for higher levels of exercise than to push too far outside of your comfort zone and get an injury that will set you back. If you haven't listened to the episode from 2 weeks ago about how to prehab your body, I strongly suggest going and listening to it. It's going to give you a little more insight than I'm giving you today on how to go through this. But the first thing you want to do is check for and correct any muscle imbalance you may have. If you have muscles that work together that are either too weak or are too tight, this can lead to an injury during training and derail your entire plan. Now, any trainer should be able to do a physical assessment with you and give you this information, and from there it's up to you to do the proper stretches and exercise to get balanced, or hire that trainer. My runners and myself, we rarely see injuries, especially ones that take us out of the game. If we do, they're very, very minor, and we get over them. I've even got a 63-year-old person that works out with us that runs about a half dozen marathons a year, if not more. If you don't want to deal with a personal trainer or you don't have access to one, you can check out my video page at findingyourmomentum.com and look for the squat assessment video. You can then perform the squat assessment on your own. Now, from there, your trainer or you can develop a training plan specifically for you to balance out those muscles and reduce the chance of injuries. Okay, so now you're preparing your body for heavier work. It's important because as you run, you place 6 times your body weight in force on your body. So once your muscles are balanced, you can start strength endurance training. Now, your weight training is likely going to consist of a little more weight and reps to build your body up for endurance running and running longer distances. Now, these should be full body routines, and yes, it does include legs. You have to work on your legs to avoid injury, to keep those muscles balanced and keep them strong. Constantly beating on them time and time again is only going to lead to injury, usually either runner's knee or shin splints, two of your most common overuse injuries. Now, running on tired legs is great endurance training. So when you're doing your, if you're worried about doing weightlifting with your legs, doing squats, doing lunges, and all that fun stuff, and it affecting your running, don't worry about it. It's going to make you a faster runner on race day. So speaking of running, we should probably talk about how much running you're going to do, huh? Well, and what you're going to be doing for running. Well, you can purchase a plan online from just about anywhere. A very popular program these days is Couch to 5K. And sometimes you can even find people doing this as a group, or you can find a runner's clinic either at the YMCA or a local fitness club. This can help with motivation too. Any good training program should follow the rule of 10. This is to say, and I'm going to do this slowly, this is to say that you increase your mileage by 10% each week for a number of weeks, cut back, and then continue on. So most training programs for 5K races are about 8 to 12 weeks long. I like the longer programs so that you can build more slowly, more progressively, and with less risk of injury. So it just depends on your ability level and where you want to start. So the rule of 10 states that you increase your mileage by 10% each week, but after 2 weeks, you taper back in order to give your body a little bit of a rest instead of pushing it harder and harder each week. So a good place to start, if you're a beginner, is probably about 5 miles, or we'll say 4.5 miles the first week if you've never ran before. So you're going to do 3 shorter runs and then 1 long run, that you can do either as a run or a walk run, especially if you're just beginning. So let's say you do 3 1-mile runs and 1 1.5-mile run or run-walk. The next week, add 0.5 mile to it. It's really 0.45, but let's just round it out to 0.5 mile, and now you're going to run a total of 2 miles in that week, in that next week. So add 1/4 mile to your long run, and then another random run. So one of your 1-mile runs would be 1 1/4, and now your long run is 1.75. So the next week, you increase again by 0.5 mile. So on week 3, you're now running 5.5 miles. And on week 4, you cut back by 20%, going back down to 4.5 again. And then week five, you add 10% to your longest week of 5.5. And then you keep going like that until the week of your race, basically. So you're going up by 10, up by 10, down by 20%. Up by 10, up by 10, down by 20%. So make sure after your taper week, that week where you go down by 20%, you add 10% to the week before that, your longest week to date. And then a week before your race, you want to start tapering down. So there's a lot of different tools you can use to make sure you're doing the right amount of mileage. You can use mapmyrun.com, myfastfeet.com, and you can map them out if you don't want to sit there and try and remember your route. You can also get a GPS watch. You can find them for as little as $150 and as much as $700, depending on what you want to do with it. And you can have a GPS watch that will tell you what your mileage is. So keep doing that 10 plus 10 minus 20, and then go back 10 plus 10 until the week of your race. You should cut back but not completely rest on race week. There's different theories about whether or not you should still do weightlifting. I feel you shouldn't do it during race week, but other trainers feel that you should. So find what works for you. But work your plan so that you give yourself at least 1 3-mile run somewhere there. You don't have to do the full 5K, but at least 1 3-mile run so your body is used to it. Your body knows what to expect on race day. Any questions about that, because it can be confusing, you can always hit us up. We have training templates and training programs that illustrate it a little bit better because you can see it on paper. Now, during this time, it's important to keep up strength training and flexibility. Again, we have videos on our website that show how to use the foam roll as well as things specific for shin splints and knee pain that can help. So stretches and exercise, again, that's at findingyourmomentum.com, and it'll bring you right to our YouTube page. So now what should you be eating during this training period? Well, I strongly believe that you put out what you put in. So eating clean will help you feel better and put out more energy, keep you more motivated, so that you don't miss many runs. Now, if you miss a run, don't worry about it. Don't freak out about it. If you miss a lot of runs, you might want to freak out a little bit about it. But if you miss one run every couple of weeks, don't worry about it. Don't try and make it up anywhere. Just go on to the next day. Sorry, I had to go back and say that. But now, again, eating clean is going to help you feel better and put out more energy, so you'll be more likely to not miss as many runs. It will fuel you through your workouts. Everyone has different eating styles, but I will say that the more unprocessed food you eat, the better your body will perform. Tom Brady just came out about what he eats to perform at high levels, and he does not eat anything processed. So a lot of whole fruits, veggies, grains, lean proteins, and water. Lots and lots of water to stay hydrated. You're going to want to increase your good carb intake, but not by a ton, because you're putting out more energy. And the idea of carb loading with pasta no longer holds true. So eat more brown rice, millet, quinoa, and other dense whole grains. If you have an issue with gluten, you may want to stay away from things like kamut and obviously wheat berries. But you should be good with brown rice, millet, and quinoa at least. You also want to make sure that your protein levels are adequate. Aim for about 0.08 to 1.2 grams of protein per kilogram of body weight. So you got to do a little bit of math there. Take your weight, convert it into kilograms. It's going to be about 0.54% of what your actual body weight is. And then multiply it by 0.08 to 1.2, and that'll give you a range for protein per day. Now, when it comes to race day, you don't want to eat or you don't want to drink anything that you haven't been training with. If you go for morning runs during training after a bowl of oatmeal and it didn't upset your stomach, don't change it up. Don't switch that day to eggs or something else that could upset your stomach. I always suggest eating about 200 to 300 calories 3 hours before your race, whether it's a 5K or a marathon. That way you're going to probably burn through a fair amount of those calories but have enough of them left over to carry you through your race. You're not going to get aid stations other than maybe water in a 5K. You're not going to get food stations. During a marathon, you will take in extra nutrition, either stuff you bring on your own or from an aid station. Unless you're diabetic, you likely won't need to eat anything during a 5K race. So it's your first race. So get down there early and hang out. Make sure you go to the bathroom before your race starts, before you line up, and do a dynamic warm-up like leg swings and skip-ups before your race. That's going to serve better than stretching will, and it's going to get your body a little more revved up for running and explosive moves. Because when you think about it, a run is an explosive move. Now, after your race, rest a few days before you start running again. You're probably going to get obsessed once you do your first race, and you're going to want to run another one. Give your body a chance to recover, and then do that assessment all over again. So set yourself up for the next race, and buy yourself a place to buy yourself a rack to hang your medals, because you get medals for all your races now. So all your little trophies that you can show off to your friends. They have a little thing on Facebook called Medal Monday, and you can always show off your new race medals every Monday morning after you complete a race on the weekend. So again, make sure you give your body that rest and kind of start over from the beginning for the next race. Make sure that you're balanced and flexible. You're going to create some muscle imbalance as you're doing these programs. You might be running on uneven pavement. If you're running in the street, you're going to get that all the time. If you're running on trails, same thing, uneven surfaces. That can cause some hip or knee imbalances that you want to fix before you start out on your next training program. Now, for any other advice, find us at findingyourmomentum.com. You should have that memorized by now. You can find us on Facebook at Momentum Fitness and Health. And you can find me, Jason Venkus, personally on Twitter at GoProVeg. Now join me next week for Why You Can't Out-Exercise Poor Nutrition. I'm going to cover the pitfalls of eating while working out and the myth that you can eat whatever you want because you are exercising. So if you're Planet Fitness, watch out. I'm coming after you. And later in February, one of my trainers is going to be guest hosting, talking about adequate protein intake and making sure you get in the right amount of protein. Until next time, may your life be filled with peace, balance, and harmony. Namaste.
That's all.